Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Insider Podcast. In this episode, I brought you a student from King's College London who studies History BA. Hi, Bianca.
Hello.
So let's start directly with the application to King's College London. How is it? I know that we had a bunch of guests from the other UK universities that had the UCAS process, but like, I'm more interested in how you handled the personal statement. What subjects did you study before applying at History in King's College? And if there is any tip you can provide to the listeners?
I think this is very much particular to history, but it applies to other subjects as well. So for example, I knew I wanted to do history, but I never, before applying, I didn't really know the difference between history and other university. And I only discovered it while applying it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to really understand that for many courses, even though they might have the same name, the course might actually be different between universities. So for example, a history BA at UCL, it considers within its program as well the Romans and the Greeks. A history BA at King's College is after the fall of the Roman Empire, or you can get a history BA in classics. So it's focused very much on Greeks and Romans on their own. Whereas a history BA at LSE is only after 1492. So only after the discovery of America.
Ah, okay.
So it's always very important to check what you're getting yourself into. I'm personally enthusiastic about my course. And I also very much like the fact that the second year is also possible to, and the third year is also possible to take modules that are not from my department. Mm-hmm. So if I were extremely into, which I am, but it hasn't been my choice, but if I were and I wanted to take courses on Roman history and Greek history, I could, because there's a possibility of mm-hmm. doing a module in the classics department.
Oh, okay.
Or for example, there's a chance of doing it in the political economy department or mm-hmm. in the philosophy department or literature. So that's very nice.
Okay. Is it something that every course has as an option, or only History BA?
I think there is this chance in many courses.
Okay.
So for instance, in the Department of Economics, you could do one in political economy or mm-hmm. Philosophy, but it's always modules that are still close to what you're studying. So for example, I study history, and this would not allow me to take, for instance, a module in chemistry.
Okay.
But perhaps in the history of philosophy or in the development of a specific economy in a specific part of the world, that I would be allowed to
sure.
do.
Sure.
So very nice. Yeah.
And how, in your personal statement, did you have any criteria that you wanted to, that you used to make sure that it was a suitable personal statement and to enhance your application? Do you have any tips that you might?
I think that one of the most important tips is to study what you like. And in that sense, I really liked the idea of studying history. So it was very easy for me to come to just write down a statement that could apply to the course. I thought that it was also important to transmit kind of a narrative within the statement. So saying mm-hmm. where you were coming from, perhaps where you wanted to go, or just saying why you want to choose the course and perhaps give a few reasons.
Okay.
And it's always nice to ground the reasons within like a motivation or something. I mean, it's very nice if you say I like history, but it's even nicer if you say I like history because. So I think that's
okay.
important.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And what did you study before applying there?
So I did the IB.
Yeah.
And I really thought that I wanted to do medicine. So I put myself into the struggle of actually doing higher level chemistry and biology for 2 years. And then when I had to tailor my AB subjects, I had actually already in mind that I wanted to do higher level history.
Mm-hmm.
So I had chemistry, biology, and history higher level. And then at the end of the first year, I was very lucky because I had the opportunity to go to a hospital and to a hospital in Italy, work in a hospital for 2 weeks and work in a lab in San Diego for 2 other weeks. And I realized mm-hmm. that actually medicine was really something I was obviously something I was interested about, but I just, the career wasn't for me. And so mm-hmm. I just took the very bold decision to just go and study something that I knew from the beginning I would have liked. But coming from Italy, the idea of actually doing history it's not necessarily something that people understand. So still nowadays, if I say to Italian people that I study history, the first thing they ask me is, do you want to be a teacher? And
it's completely different. Yeah.
And I feel like in the UK, it's a lot about the skills that you learn at university more than the actually content.
Definitely. It is the same also for those that study like me, that study politics or philosophy.
You're gonna be a politician.
No, like scienze politiche in Italy, we say. Yeah. You know, like it's a degree that, you know, not many see it as a expert.
Like, I believe in Italy, at least, even my parents had this view that at university you should either study medicine, law, or I don't know, architecture or economics, like there are these, or engineering, these five courses, and the rest is not as good.
Definitely.
Which I obviously don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's completely different in the UK, and I know people that studied chemistry and went on doing consultancy. So
next Tuesday I'm starting my internship in an investment bank.
Definitely. Okay, thanks. So you got your offer and congrats, and then you got the grades. How was it to go live in London? Was it hard to find a place? Yeah, and then I'll ask you other questions about it.
I decided the first year to take a house instead of going to an accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very nice decision, and I was very lucky because I was together. I took a house with a few very close friends of mine. But I would actually suggest you guys to perhaps the first year going into an accommodation. It might not be the nicest, it might not be the tidiest, whatever, it might not be even super strategic, but it's much easier to meet new people and to just get more of the uni life.
Mm-hmm.
The second year and the third year, you're always in time to get a house and get settled down with a few friends. But to meet new people, I think it's very nice if you go into an accommodation.
The university, King's College, has a variety of accommodations that it offers,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, a variety concerning prices, obviously, locations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a very big variety.
I know you chose to live in a house, but like maybe you know from your friends, which accommodation would you think is the best? Do you know that or...?
I've many friends of mine went to, I think, I don't know if it's a brand of accommodations or what, but it's called Urbanist.
Yes, I live there.
There's quite a few around London, and obviously mm-hmm. If you change the location, the price also changes with them. So it's, you can find the one that matches your needs and wants.
Okay, and for those that want to go into a house in an apartment, is it difficult to find, or?
I mean, we were four girls with four very different tastes, so for us it was kind of a challenge. No, I mean the job market for houses it's huge, so it's not that hard. It's full of websites that are extremely good. The best one is probably Rightmove, And it's very useful if you use the tools in your research to really just look for things that you're interested in. So you can, for example, decide if you want a house with furniture or without, mm-hmm. if you want it to be in central London or not, if you want it with a garden, whatever. So it's, yeah, you can okay. directly look for what you're looking
for. So it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Okay.
It's probably gonna take you a while, but it's not difficult.
Okay. Yeah. So like living in London, like what's the social life for you? What do you think? How is the social life in London?
The basis of my answer is actually grounded in the life that I lived almost a year and a half ago.
Yes. Yes, of course.
The life is great. King's College is great. The sports bar, which is when you, the bar that King's College actually has, it's super renowned. And on mm-hmm. Wednesday night, also sometimes on Tuesday, all the students go. So for the social life, it's super fun.
Okay.
It's also extremely international. Many Italian guys, I must say, but very international. And yeah, social life-wise, London is amazing.
Okay. And is it sometimes expensive, as people might say?
Definitely. London okay. is an expensive city.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, there's way to cope with that. It doesn't have to be too expensive. It never is. But yeah, especially if put in comparison with Italian cities, then it might be expensive.
And so like out of 10, how would you judge the social life in London and at King's College? Out of 10.
King's College, probably 9 to 10.
Okay.
I mean, I've always had fun. I've met amazing people. The city is big, so there's lots of opportunities. There's always an extremely interesting art show. Then there is, you know, before Corona, there would be, I don't know, an interesting movie being shown somewhere.
Yeah,
or you
definitely.
Can go to a club, or you can go to a Mexican, Polish restaurant, anything. So the opportunities are incredible.
Okay. And is it like you said 9, but then you corrected it 10. Is it because of Corona, or is there something missing?
I mean, yeah, definitely Corona is not helping.
Yeah, no, definitely.
No, I don't think there's much missing. Obviously, because of Corona, it wasn't that easy for me to meet classmates and people from my university, because mm-hmm. last year was everything was online. So that obviously didn't help much.
Okay.
But I think, again, the experience has been the same one for everybody.
Okay. And what about the campus and the facilities at King's College? How what's the campus like? Is it old or modern? Is there something changing?
It really depends because there's not one specific campus. There's three main campuses. One, it's Guy's, and I've actually never been, because it's more for the science / psychology, I think it is. Then there's a Strand, which is King's College Law School is actually at this right next to it. It's just amazing. There's
these
buildings from 19th century, and it's beautiful. It's extremely old. And then there's Bush House, which is more for the business, and it's confining with LSC Bush House. They actually share some buildings. And then there's this other campus. I can't remember the name, but again, I think it's more for the sciences.
Yeah.
And I've heard is good.
Yeah,
too.
I must say, King's College is extremely large. It's one of the greatest universities in London, I think.
It's huge. Together with UCL, I think they're one of the largest, definitely, mm-hmm. extremely big.
And
close to Strand, which is where history is, there's this library called MoM, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's if you reserve a place, there's this round room where you can go and study, and it's a room basically from the, I think, 18th century or something.
Wow.
Full of old books, and it's rounded, and it's just, it's wow. like in a movie. Yeah.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think the facilities are? Do you think the university provides enough facilities for students, or if there is anything that you might say you don't like that it's missing, or what do you think?
To be fair, studying history, I never really used many facilities from the university, so I can't really give an
you already provided an insight on the
library. I use the library a lot. The books were amazing, but I've never been to a lab or anything like that.
And what about societies? Really, what about societies?
Oh, societies. I think it's even richer than UCL and LSE in the society it provides, because obviously the university being so big and so international, there's basically a society for anything. So for example, this year I was the treasurer of the FinTech Society. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a great year societies, at least for mine, because obviously it was very difficult to meet up.
But
societies are also a great way to meet new people.
To connect with people, okay.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
So how would you judge the campus from out of 10?
From out of 10, probably 8.
Oh.
I mean, it's wonderful and it's clean, but
there are other campuses. Okay, there are other campuses.
Okay.
And so let's move on to the teaching structure. What I mean is how are classes structured? What's it like? How many people are there in a class, or in a course?
So at least for my course, but I know for many of the more anyways, for the courses that aren't
humanities
related, humanities,
yeah.
The word, but anyways, courses, it's usually structured that you have a lecture, that it's either 1 hour or 2 hours with all of the people who are taking the course. So it's usually a lecture involving many people. For instance, for last year, I had lectures with about 50 to 70 people. But I know there's courses where lectures are even for 100 or 200 people. And they're usually with very good professors. Who have studied the field and who are very expert in the subject.
Okay.
The group is divided into much smaller groups. I think the maximum is at King's College is actually 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. And these are called seminars. And you have your seminar, and it's a much smaller defined group for you to discuss the readings and to discuss the lecture. So at least for my course, it's based on the Socratic method. So it means that before going to classes, you have to have already studied the subject you're going to discuss. And this way, it might be harder for you to understand everything, because most of the time you're given the lecture, which is very introductory, you're given it afterwards, but at the same time, then it's much easier to have an informed discussion in your seminar because obviously you have already done everything before and you can really get into the specifics. You can start answering very tailored questions.
Keep going.
And then third year, but I know this happened, I know actually also this year, second year and third year, you might also have hours either with your tutor, or some courses offer at least once a month you have to meet with a professor yourself. And then it's also very useful, again, at least for my course, that all the professors and the seminar teachers, they were always hosting office hours, which are extremely open, and you can just pop in and ask questions, ask for them to help you. It doesn't matter how important the teacher is, how important the professor is, how renowned he is, it will always help you. So I thought that was very nice.
Great.
In Italy, you can't have that.
Sometimes it's hard to find, to have a relationship with the professor. And I think the UK universities provide that.
Yeah, I mean, Corona didn't help, but I went to office hours online anyways. So.
You know, the fact that it was online, it made it much easier to connect with a professor sometimes. Like, it was faster.
Definitely.
So, how would you judge the teaching structure at KCL out of 10?
Extremely good. Good. At the same time, I wished there were more contact hours. And to be fair, I've talked to many people, and this is a feeling that is shared between many. So obviously you have the lecture, and you have, in my case, it's usually 1 hour lecture or 2 hours lecture per course, and then 1 hour seminar.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, you take 4 to 5 courses. So contact hour wise, it's about, at least for my course again, 10 hours a week, which compared to Italy is just ridiculous.
Yes, I interviewed the...
It's much more intense than that, because before going to lesson and before going to the lecture, you study at least 6 hours per course. So obviously it's not like you're studying less, but it would be even better, at least in my opinion, if at least lectures were longer, because at least for me, lectures, they're always amazing, and seminars of course are super nice, and you go very much into the specifics, but yeah, I wish lectures were longer.
I interviewed a student from Politecnico di Milano yesterday, and he told me he studies 28 hours. A lot.
I study all day long, but just my university time, it's just much smaller.
28 hours university time. Yes, I meant that. And what about the careers KCL offers? The management, especially, how it ends with
management
students.
Management is very good, but at the same time, you have to be the one wanting to get in touch with the careers site. So it's full of newsletters. You can subscribe for specific fields. And every week, or even every day, if you want to, they can send you a list of jobs that are open or internships, and they can put you in contact. And every 3 months, you can even book an appointment with a person from career to just try out an interview, like a long structured interview.
Okay.
You can meet up with them to polish your CV. It's always full of workshops and everything, but at the same time, you have to be the one looking for that. So they're going to provide it for you, but only if you look for it. Okay. So I went to St. Clair's, where they were actually amazing from that side, and they really taught me that that part of the university or of the school is also extremely important. So that's why
I came prepared.
That's why I was prepared to actually contact the career center and book appointments and stuff. Otherwise, I might have not done it, but I think it's so important.
Yes, it is. And I forgot to ask you, but do you have any tips you could provide to future KCS students that arrive and, you know, they might not have the information that we had at school, and that might, like, what should a student do in the first month to prepare
in the
and
first month? First of all, you have to understand that the amazing and yet very annoying thing about London is that it moves. If you want to do something, you have to move 1 year ahead. So for example, last year I already knew I wanted to do history because it's something that I love studying, but mm-hmm. I personally know that I don't want to be a historian. So I actually enjoy very much the world of finance and everything that's around it. So I knew that I wanted to do something in finance. I knew that I wanted to do a spring week. And so I went to the career center and I asked them, how can I apply? How can I prepare? And it was very useful because they told me what to do. They might be a bit generic, but that's life.
Okay.
They can't be extremely specific with every student because there's just too many students. And before doing an interview, I booked an appointment with them to do a mock interview where they just helped me to structure the most important answers and everything. And I thought it was extremely useful.
Okay.
But if I hadn't contacted them about it, it might have been not that easy for me to actually then get an interview. And
okay, so prepare in advance.
Yeah, definitely.
For careers. And what about, for example, I don't know, for societies or to study or to learn how to study at uni? What tips would you provide for those that just started, that will just start?
Studying wise, if you can, obviously just prepare before the lesson, because if you tell yourself that, first of all, if you don't prepare before, you're not going to understand what the lesson, the lecture and the seminar are going to be about, so you struggle double. Mm-hmm. And it also, if you tell yourself that you're going to study after the lecture or the seminar, you're probably never going to do it, so just really do it beforehand. And other tip, take good notes, especially for the lectures, because really lectures help you to frame every specific topic you're going to study. The seminar, on the other hand, is much closer to the readings or to the more practical side of it. So obviously it's extremely important, but if you want to go, once you're, I don't know, in May and you're preparing an exam on something you've studied in October, it's really nice to have a polished framework coming from the your notes, from the notes you took during the lectures.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to provide you the core points, the core things that you have to talk about, that you have to provide details in.
Okay. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
So, okay. And now I'm going to ask you a specific question that is hard to answer sometimes, which is, what do you think is the best and the worst thing about KCL?
Allora, best? Worst? Let's start from worst.
Yes, let's start from worst.
It's huge.
Huge.
It's really big. It's also very nice because obviously this way you meet lots of different people, and the campus, it's in the middle of London and you get a bit lost in it. It's part of the experience, but at the same time, it might be a lot to handle. So that's why at the beginning, I recommended for people to actually maybe go into an accommodation, because it might just be easier to meet new people this way. That I would say possibly worst.
Mm-hmm.
And best, to be fair, I loved my teachers, almost all of them, and so I was extremely lucky in that sense.
Are like, in general, are the teachers really good?
Again, I think it really depends on the course.
course, yeah.
For history, I had the chance to have professors who published in the most amazing journals and wrote books and everything. So, and with the office hours and everything, again, it was possible for me to actually be in contact with them and ask them direct questions, which is not necessarily something that happens
really often. Yeah. And I think it's amazing to connect with people that are so, they are so much experts in their topics. Okay, so now the last question, which is, what is a typical day of a KCL student? What, could you describe your day, a general day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep?
General day, waking up at around, I would say 8.
Okay.
Obviously, it depends if you partied.
Yes, of course. Before, yeah. Not.
Breakfast, maybe out with some friends or at home. Then I would probably study for 2 hours. When back at the time when there were lectures in presence and seminars in presence, I would go to uni, probably do a lecture and then a seminar. Often they're close, they're on the same day if it's the same course. And if I had the seminar, if I had the lecture and then the seminar would be a few hours later, I would go to the library and study, or maybe meet up with some friends. Again, my campus is in Covent Garden, so it's extremely central. So I would probably go to the lecture, then either study again or meet up with some friends. And after university, I would go to the gym, study. Then there's dinner. And then it depends if you have a deadline the day after, you stay studying, get some studying, or otherwise, you go out.
you said how many hours of classes or lectures do you have? In a week?
In a week, 10.
Okay.
So distributed. For example, last year I had on Monday 4 hours, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours. Friday was free. Obviously, I had to study on Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to go to uni.
And how many hours do you study in a week?
In a week, I would say at least 3 hours per subject.
Okay.
So multiplied by 5 subjects, it's 15 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
And if it's distributed within a day, it means that you'll study 3 hours and then you have 2 hours of lesson. Obviously, again, it depends. I usually study a bit more than that, but if I were to study at the least, I would have to study 3 hours per module.
Okay. Definitely. Just one small little question. Have you seen any kind of difference or in the quality of services the KCL provides after the pandemic, before and after the pandemic? Is there any difference? Except the online classes and lectures, that it's annoying, but eventually we'll get out of it. Have you seen any difference in...
Again, I appreciated that professors were still able to host office hours even during the pandemic, which I think it was extremely nice of them. Obviously, they're paid for it, but still.
Yeah.
It's funny because I had a few office hours where these very renowned professor would like hold their kids because, you know, the kids were at home. It was kind of a weird situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought that it was nice that at least for history, they made all the resources that we would have to read for seminars and lectures, they were made available for free online,
Whereas before the pandemic, sometimes I would actually need to go to the library and maybe rent a book or something. And obviously there's so many people from my course, it might be a bit difficult to coordinate who would take the book and when people would give it back, who should take it again. So that what it was kind of hard to coordinate, whereas with the pandemic, everything was made available for everybody. So it was just a bit easier.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I think we can end it here. Thank you very much, Bianca.
No problem.
I think you helped a lot of people that are going
hopefully. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, thank you to the listeners who listened until here, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah,
thank you, Bianca.
Ciao. Thank you.